This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. As we reported earlier in the show, in the last 12 hours, the United Kingdom and Australia have both indicated they will not be sending any diplomats or officials to the Beijing Olympics and Paralympics. Well, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh would like Canada to follow suit, along with the United States, to refuse to send any diplomatic officials to the Winter Olympics. He says our athletes should be a priority, but we need to send a clear message to China.
We've got to keep our athletes safe. And that's something that's top of my mind. And secondly, we shouldn't be punishing the athletes. And so those remain very clearly our priorities. But there are ways for us to send a clear message about our concerns around human rights violations, whether it's the Uyghur or democracy in Hong Kong. There are serious concerns that we have, and there's a way for us to raise that message.
U.S. President Joe Biden made it clear last month that he would look at keeping diplomats and other government officials away from the Games. Craig Oliver is a veteran political correspondent, and he joins us now for his perspective on this story. Hey, good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Dave.
So, Craig, we once again find ourselves looking at a difficult balancing act in Canada-China relations. Would being in lockstep with the U.S. and now the U.K. and Australia and Lithuania be a wise move for Canada?
Absolutely. Anything we are going to do and will do, I believe we will do this, we have to do in conjunction with allies. We have to have a united front against the Chinese in this regard, because otherwise they'll pick us off one by one. And we saw that once already, and we don't want to go through that again. So I think that's the plan. Then the Prime Minister hasn't had anything quite ready to announce, but I'm pretty sure. And remember this, Dave, and your viewers and listeners need to remember it too, that our House of Commons condemned China as a country that is murdering, imprisoning, doing all of these terrible things. We can't walk back from that. Mm. So if that is all true, and it is, then I don't think the Prime Minister has any choice but join in the American effort, even though, you know, it might be seen by others as a courageous effort at showing our independence from the United States. But sometimes joining with the United States is also an important thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of joining in with the United States and some of the thorny issues around international relations, let's stay on the topic of foreign affairs, because President Joe Biden had a two-hour call with Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday. Specifically, Biden warned Putin about a Russian buildup of troops along the Ukrainian border. Now, this is not the first time in recent memory the U.S. and Russia have clashed diplomatically over Russian aggression towards the Ukraine. People will remember the Crimea incidents of 2014. Craig, what are the implications of this tension between Russia and the United States?
Something has to be worked out here. And the problem the Russians have is they want to recreate the Soviet Union that was, the world of Catherine the Great, where for almost 500 years, Ukraine was an intimate part of Russia and then of the Soviet Union when it was around. And what Putin wants is he wants Ukraine back. And I think the president made it clear to him yesterday that he's not getting Ukraine back under the circumstances that exist today, not as far as the United States is concerned. But the president did hold back from suggesting military confrontation. In fact, he did something that I think is even more important to Putin. And that is, he threatened real serious economic trouble for Putin and sanctions which they've never used before, mainly that the government would seize the assets of all of the corrupt oligarchs who support Putin and keep him in place, billions of dollars in corrupt money, all from the government itself, given to him by Putin when contracts and everything else, that the U.S. will threaten and will prevent them using the international financial system to hide their money. And the U.S. has the power to do that. It's all held by Switzerland, and the U.S. has a tremendous influence here.
Mm-hmm.
That will get Putin's attention. That's what will get his attention. When he was expecting to hear that something about maybe NATO and the United States would take them on if they invade, the president wasn't threatening war. He was threatening serious economic war.
Yeah, those kind of economic sanctions we've seen have big impacts on places around the world like Iran. I mean, that was one of the things that was at the heart of the Meng Wanzhou incident between Canada and China in regards to United States economic sanctions. Hey, Craig, speaking of Canada and how it might fall into this incident, maybe not necessarily in a military way, but how might this incident between the U.S. and Russia impact either the Canada-U.S. or even the Canada-Russia relationship?
Well, the first thing to note is that Canada has something like 800 or 900 soldiers in a number of countries, including, I think, helping the Ukrainians train their infantrymen. And we're in a couple of other countries also. So if fighting began, Canada might find itself unnecessarily involved, and that would be serious. But otherwise, we have all kinds of problems with the Russians, particularly increasingly in the high Arctic, where the Russians are really bringing an arms war to effect right up there in the high Arctic. And so we want to discourage them from that, and we're going to need U.S. help to do it. And we're going to have to talk very tough to Putin about what he's doing in the Arctic by making it a place where the nations take each other on militarily, or are ready to, and that is not what we wanted to see happen in the high Arctic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notion of Arctic sovereignty is one that obviously plays a big, is very significant.
Yeah, and the problem is we claim sovereignty to a lot of that, but the rest of the world does not accept our claim, and that includes the United States, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Craig, let's jump into a topic here that you and I have talked about extensively throughout this year, and that's military misconduct. Military police have laid criminal charges against the Canadian Armed Forces former head of human resources, despite the Liberal government having said it would transfer that investigation and prosecution of sexual misconduct cases to civilian authorities. The Canadian Forces National Investigation Service announced on Tuesday that Vice Admiral Hayden Edmonston had been charged with one count of sexual assault and one count of indecent acts. The charges come just over a month after Defense Minister Anita Anand announced she had accepted retired Supreme Court Justice Louise Arbour's call to have criminal cases involving sexual misconduct transferred from military to civilian jurisdiction. Now, Craig, Minister Anand has been tasked to handle a file riddled with high-profile cases of misconduct. It remains early in dealing with these issues, but does this at least offer a signal that they're making some progress?
Well, it's far more than a signal. The fact is that it is happening. This present case had been investigated by the National Security Service of the military, of course, but they had pretty much finished their investigation, so they just handed it over to the prosecutors. So this is now a pretty much an all-civilian operation. And I think if there's any way of convincing these numbskulls in the military, the senior ranks, hard to believe what they were all up to. It's staggering if you step back and think about it. The one thing they can understand next time is you could go to jail. Mm-hmm. Last time, the old boys protected each other. Not anymore. It's going to be in civilian, and if they're convicted, he will take civilian penalties, and it could include jail time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to scare them, and that, if nothing else, will convince them that they have to change their ways. This certainly will.
Yeah, we know it's still early on, and we know this file is going to be a difficult one for Minister Anand, but it seems like there is progress being made, absolutely. Craig, let's jump into a different political story here. Conservatives are pushing to create a House of Commons committee to look back at Canada's plan for the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan and its response to the humanitarian crisis that followed. Let's hear from Tory leader Aaron O'Toole, accusing the Prime Minister of prioritizing his own political fortunes over the safety of Afghans.
You know what this prime minister was doing as Afghanistan fell? He was preparing for an election.
Painful.
Calling an election as Kabul fell. Planning an election instead of an evacuation, Mr. Speaker.
Let's hear from the prime minister who defended his government's response.
Throughout the month of August, officials, ministers, extraordinary members of the Canadian Armed Forces, diplomats were engaged in a historic effort to get as many Afghans out of the country, get as many Canadians home as possible.
The government has committed to bring 40,000 refugees and vulnerable Afghans to Canada, but so far only about 4,000 people have arrived. The conservative motion calls for the government to provide documents about its plans for the U.S. withdrawal. So, Craig, that soundbite seemed pretty politically charged. Does a committee like this constitute a top priority?
I wouldn't go as far as call it a top priority up there with climate and First Nations issues, but it's pretty important. And remember that just about every country involved, this turned into a mess. At the moment, however, the government is really appeared to be uncertain what way to go right now. They claim that there's no infrastructure within the country. The country is in absolute chaos. It's been suggested to me that we will not be reopening our embassy in Afghanistan. And so it's very difficult to see how these people can connect and get a lot of paperwork done if there's no embassy for them to deal with. They're still trying. But I think one of the real potential tragedies here is that a lot of these people who had worked for Canada did get to third world countries. But now the Canadian government doesn't seem able to get them out of those countries in more of a hurry than it should, or in any hurry whatever. And the third world countries are saying, look, we took you in temporarily, but, you know, you're out of here, or we're sending you back to Afghanistan if the Canadians won't take you, because we're not here being guests of all of you people for so long.
Yeah.
And that's what the government has to deal with now. But these are important questions. The government made commitments. I think they have to be held to those commitments. And I think it's the right thing that the conservative leader is doing.
Just before we get into our last topic, Craig, the Canadian press just put across the wire that an announcement is expected from Canadian officials slightly later today in regards to that diplomatic boycott of the Olympics that we discussed right at the top
of
this segment.
We'll be part of it, I'm certain, and we should be part of it. We have to remind the Chinese that they are violating the international rules of law, order, and decency and so many of the things they're doing. We have said that about them. We have to follow through. We would look ridiculous if we were afraid to do it now.
Yeah, lockstep.
But we've got to do it with others.
Yeah, lockstep with our international partners on this one. All right, Craig, let's jump into this last issue. You and I talked about this last week, and now it's official. The Senate has passed legislation to ban conversion therapy in Canada. After minimal debate, senators have agreed to fast-track Bill C-4 through all stages of the legislative process and deem it passed. It should receive royal assent later today. The move was proposed by the interim leader of the Conservative Senate caucus, Leo Hausikaus. It's a similar move that followed what happened in the House of Commons last week, where the bill received unanimous assent. Now, last week, you and I discussed how this may have been a potentially thorny issue for the Conservatives. However, it looks like the caucus got on board. Does this feel like an indicator of how political parties in Ottawa can put aside squabbling for the sake of good policy? Do you take some encouragement from it?
Well, first, I think the Prime Minister did not try to make this a political issue, which he could have done and embarrassed the conservative leader, who has a number of people who think that conversion therapy is a good thing, which is inhumane and is considered torture by UN. But anyway, there were people in the conservative caucus who might have been ready to go public, But I think their colleagues persuaded them to keep their mouths shut and not undermine the conservative leader more than they already have with their far-right views. And so that's what happened here. They kept their mouths shut, and the caucus members who agreed, as almost everyone does, the last thing that O'Toole needed was for his party to be seen with a lot of people who believe that conversion therapy would be a wonderful thing. On the contrary, no.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Craig, thank you for your thoughts on all these topics. I know we kind of ran through a political jungle right there.
Oh, that's fine, Dave. Jungles are fun.
Yeah, jungles offer their fun as well. Craig, have a great day.
Politics is already a jungle.
Yeah, there are definitely some tigers hiding behind some trees. Craig, thanks for this. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.